wonder of all wonders outside of Bethlehem. Angels come to shepherds, ordinary working men. Not the high and mighty or the powerful and great, but those who feel unwanted that the world has pushed away. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, all you lost and left behind, the lowly and those longing with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken, I bring you good news. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you. All who feel rejected, unwanted and alone, we're all undeserving of the kindness we've been shown. Come behold the King of Kings, find rest you weary souls. Lay down all your burdens, He will mend and make you whole. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, are you lost and left behind, the lowly and those longing with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken, I bring you good news. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you. For all of those in need, come find come to save. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, all you lost and left behind, the lowly and those longing with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken, I bring you good news. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, the Savior. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you.
We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning as we continue our study. As we've looked at through the book of Luke at times through the birth announcement of John the Baptist, of Jesus. And we've seen there the songs of Elizabeth and Zacharias, of Mary and the angels. And we're going to see the last of the Christmas songs or hymns today through Simeon. But I want you to notice what's taking place today, because as I was alluding to in my prayer, the Lord has just really been challenging me as we were preparing for the coming year. Is that we have families that are raising young, precious children that are struggling with what it means to be a parent and how to be the parent that they should be and want to be, trying to be that parent who's biblical in their raising of their children, following the Word of God and adhering to that. And so with that, we're going to start a series next week. It'll be on parenting and then marriage as well. So as we enter into this time, this just leads right into that as we complete our study of the birth of Christ and we look at his family and how they were dedicated to the Lord and they were committed to the Lord and how they want to commit their son to the Lord in obedience to God's word and the way that they go about it. And everything they did, they were very devout. They were very committed to God. And we understand that's why they were chosen to be the mother and the stepdad of, in the sense of the Lord Jesus Christ and those that having the opportunity to be able to raise him and to pour into him and to see him grow up and then fulfill the ministry and the mission of God the Father. And I think about our children too, is in the busy world we live in with our jobs and all the time that takes, all the other extra curricular activities that we throw in that take additional time, some of it with our kids and some of it not with our kids, is how much time are we really spending in time in prayer and reading God's word and in then trying to live that out with and before our children on a daily basis to where that they don't just hear this is what you're supposed to do, but they see that lived out in you and in your home in such a way that they begin to understand as model for them what it means to be a godly father, or a godly mother, a godly husband or godly wife, a father to them that would point them to the Heavenly Father. You see, we as Christians have taken on that responsibility. We've made that commitment, but how faithful are we? Are we kind of like those New Year's resolutions where a lot of times we make those resolutions and within a matter of 3 weeks or less, we've already broken them, turned away from them, and quit with them. You see, with child rearing and raising a child and teaching them the things of the God, of the Lord God and pointing them towards God, it's not a once every now and then kind of thing. It's a daily walk together, just like Deuteronomy chapter 6 talks about. But as we see this example today, we're going to look at Christ and from a very early age, how his mom and dad were teaching him the importance of God, the importance of the house of God, and following the way of God and the will of God and the word of God and the spirit of God. Let's begin in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. It says, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So the first thing that we want to look at is how Joseph and Mary have a dedication and commitment to fulfilling the word of God in their lives and the life of their son. And it says that after 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, in other words, 8 days after he was born, this child who had been placed in a manger was cleaned up and taken to be circumcised. He was circumcised and the skin of the flesh was removed, which was a reminder of the Abrahamic covenant that he was committed and devoted to God and that he was a part of the family of God. Now, we understand that we view things a little bit differently and the circumcision is of her heart, not of her foreskin, but at the same time, the commitment is the same. And so what happened here is they were fulfilling what it describes there in Leviticus chapter 12 and the commitment of the Mosaic law, an Abrahamic law, fulfilling that Abrahamic covenant. And so they had Jesus circumcised at 8 days old. Now, one theologian of the 1800s, Donald Gray Barnhouse, who was a theologian and author, said this was the first sacrifice that Jesus made towards what would be the final sacrifice for all of mankind. And that he first shed blood at eight days old to fulfill the commitment to God to continue to fulfill the law. You see, he was born under the law. As we read here, about 40 times the law is mentioned throughout the book of Luke. And in describing the birth of Christ, we understand that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And so with that, he was circumcised at 8 days old. And they called his name Jesus, which means Jesus is salvation or Jehovah's salvation. And as the name was given by the angel, and it was given before he was conceived in the womb. Luke goes to great care here again, continuing the theme of the virgin birth, continuing to explain the things that happened in such a way that there's no room for error or any doubt as to what happened here in the miraculous birth. But also he's talking about the commitment of a mom and dad. But he goes on to describe here in verse 22, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And it describes in verse 23, as it is written by in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Now, you find this in Exodus chapter 13 about the fact that It's still talking about that in Leviticus about the days of purification and the fact that after 40 days, when a male child is born, it was 66 if it was a female child was born, is after the time that she had become ritually cleansed or pure, that Mary could go with Joseph and Jesus to the temple. They took Jesus to the temple to present him there, to dedicate him to the Lord. And as they were preparing to go, notice what it says is that in verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. Now, it describes here a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, if you read over in Exodus there, as this is being described, what's really described, Leviticus again, is what's really described there is, first of all, to bring a lamb, if they're able to. But if they're not able to because their financial position, their standing, they would bring either a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. And one would be offered for the sin sacrifice, and one would be offered as a sacrifice of praise to the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And so as that happens, we see here what's being described is that Joseph and Mary were not what you would call or consider wealthy. You know, you often wonder why, when God brought his son into the world, he was not born to a king and queen, but because he is the king, everything focuses and centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself, but also so that people would be aware of the fact that he is nobility, but he came as a simple babe born in a manger that any man, any woman might have access to him and to the salvation that comes through his sinless life, death on the cross, and his resurrection from the dead. And that there's not a barrier there because of any kind of social stratas that are set up because of economics or other things that we do in this world. But that everyone is considered equal in the eyes of God and created as in God's image. And that with that, that opportunity, that access is available to all to repent and to turn to him and believe that he is the Son of God and call upon him and receive the gift of salvation. But as they bring this offering, it says that they brought either two turtle doves or two pigeons. And so they were not wealthy. But let me just say this too. They brought the greatest lamb of all too, and they brought the Lamb of God to the temple that day. As he was brought in, the one who would be the great sacrifice, the great I Am, the Lamb of God. God had already prepared that there would be those there that would see him and recognize him and would identify him so that even those in the temple, the religious leaders, everyone, there would be no question, no doubt, this one is the Messiah. This one is the Son of God. And so it's described here in saying that they brought these offerings, and it describes the fulfillment of God's promise to Simeon. Now, Simeon is described here, it says in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it has been revealed to, him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, as they brought Jesus and made this sacrifice, the other part of it was from Exodus chapter 13 I kept referring to, is that the Lord had also required that there would be a price paid for redemption or redeeming the firstborn male child or male animal. And when you read that scripture there, it's one of those things that for the child and the animal, the firstborn male were to be dedicated to the Lord or committed to the Lord. And so they actually had to bring 5 shekels to pay the redemption price for the Redeemer of the world who would redeem them and redeem us through his shed blood. Now, as we read that also, I want you to understand that later that will be changed, but for the first animal, it says that you would bring a lamb for the animal to be sacrificed, or you'd bring the redemption price that would be offered there as a sacrifice to God, dedicating that first animal, firstborn male animal or child. But with the animal, it says if you have a male donkey that is born, but you refuse to bring that price, that at that point you break the animal's neck. In other words, you kill it. Now that sounds harsh. And he was describing primarily to the animal, here's what he was describing. But here's the thing, folks, is the Lord tells us this is the way that you are to come to me and commit yourself to me and to worship me, and there's no other way to do it. There's no other God you can go to and receive salvation. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can you be saved. Not only that, is you can't just come to him however you want to and whenever you want to and just any way you want to. There's a way you come to the Lord by humbling yourself and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. No other way. But here God says, as you come and bring a redemption price, that shekels that were offered here. I want to tell you, folks, I'm so glad we don't have to do that because the redemption has already been paid for at Calvary. But here's the thing, too. Many of us here today have dedicated our children and our grandchildren, many in this church, many recently. And part of what you're doing when you come and you make that commitment of dedication is that you're going to be a part of that child's life day after day after day. You're going to live in such a way with that child that in your life, in your actions, in your words, in everything that you say and you do, you're trying to point that child to the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, that this is the Word of God. That there's no other way of salvation apart from faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That you're making a commitment to raise them and teach them God's word. You cannot do that as an absentee dad. You cannot do that as a busy mom running from soccer field to ball fields and things and then not spending the time with them because we're too busy with these other things. You cannot do that when you fail to come and bring them to the house of God as they were doing here, and they do so with the sole purpose of being faithfully committed to God and teaching their children the importance of God and the importance of God's house and God's people in worshiping together and serving him together. Think about this. There's so many things are being said, even though they're not directly in the print. Is they're making a statement not only to Jesus in the fact that they would later tell him, you were circumcised on the eighth day, you fulfilled the law there, you were taken to the temple and you were dedicated on the 40th day, the sacrifices were made for you according to the law, in every way you fulfilled the law. In every way we did everything we could to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ in teaching you and raising you as a godly mother and a godly father. That's a great responsibility for us today. We don't have to make those sacrifices and things in those ways. But sometimes a sacrifice comes in that we have to wait on the things that we either need or want and trust God to provide those things. And because we're faithfully committed to him, he provides what's needed and quite often above and beyond. You see, we don't do it for the blessing those ways, but we do it for the fact that our kids would grow spiritually to know God and to walk with God. Sad part is, a lot of times what happens is when you get about teenage years and they haven't been in church because they've been running everywhere else, and somebody out there in another area is your teen group and your group that you with your children and everything, and you start having problems, it's like, well, preacher or a student minister, help us with this situation. Folks, I want to tell you, it's almost too late then. It's never too late with God. It's not impossible. But I want to tell you, a lot of it is you have to shoulder the blame. And the fact that you have neglected the house of God. You've neglected your responsibilities as a parent to be faithfully committed to teaching them and living with them in such a way that they know God and they know who God is and they know him as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, they have to make that decision just like you did. But let me just say this. It's real hard when they don't know anything other than fairy tales about Jesus other than what they hear out here around campuses and all these other places where they travel and who Jesus may be. But when they hear it from the Word of God and they see it lived out in their mom and dad, and they hear their mom and dad praying over them, praying for them, teaching them his word, it makes a difference. God makes the difference in our inabilities because there's nothing he can't do. Nothing is impossible with him. But we have to put him first in our life and in their life. And you have that responsibility as a steward over them, that you've been gifted them to be the one to raise them and to teach them and train them and walk with them day after day after day. And so we see here that Joseph and Mary are faithful. And it says, for every male who opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. These children are holy and precious. Every soul is precious unto the Lord. When we think about sanctity of life and the meetings that will be taking place on the 15th and praying for the abortions to stop in this state and this nation, we need to be praying that every single day, because every time a life is taken, we just draw deeper and deeper and deeper in sin and away from God. You see, we've been silent too long as a church. It says that every child who opens, male, but also every child who opens the womb should be called holy to the Lord. Now he goes on to say here in describing Simeon, it says, this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, or the Messiah, to come. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Let me say this. I pray for every person on this earth. They would not die before they see the Lord's Christ. There would be an opportunity for them to see Jesus, in a sense, by faith, and understand and acknowledge who he is, and to turn to him and trust him as Lord and Savior. But you know, it's like you can say, well, I really wish things were different and I wish this would happen. Well, that's kind of pie in the sky in many ways, those things. But our hope and our prayer is, and our opportunity is that we can go forward and we can help send those forward and we can be a part of the Great Commission and what the Lord has commanded us to do in presenting the gospel to those who have not heard, that they might respond according to the Lord drawing them to himself and revealing himself to them, and quite often revealing himself through the work of the Spirit and also in through using us as an instrument to present the gospel to them. And so Simeon was a just man. He's always pictured as an older man. Now tradition says he was about 113. Scripture doesn't really tell us in full. But the thing we see is that the Spirit of God had revealed to him that he would not die before he saw the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that was they were waiting for among the Jewish nation, and that he would see him before he would die. Now, I'll tell you, for us that are believers, we might not see him before we die, but we know that once we die, we will see him and be with him. We'll no longer walk by faith, but by sight. Amen? And it's much to look forward to. But with that, there's a great opportunity right here and great responsibility too on our part as we look at 2020 and who are we going to be leading to the Lord and pointing to the Lord. It says that, so he came by the Spirit into the temple at the time that Joseph and Mary were bringing in Jesus to make the sacrifice and to commit the child according to the law, according to the custom of the law, it says in verse 27. Now, I want to say something to you here, and I don't mean to be offensive, but, you know, Brandon has been asking and begging that we would have people that would help with certain Sundays, to help with child care in the nurseries and with We Worship. And we've been asking for Wednesday nights, begging people to come and be here. We have a lot of children, a lot of youth come here on Wednesday nights too, folks. Sunday nights we do Awana. And we've got needs there and got opportunities, and there's a lot of people here. But on Wednesday night, it's a remnant or a handful of people trying to somehow provide for the care that's needed for all these young infants and toddlers and children and youth. I have begged people, don't come for the Bible study. Come and help serve somewhere and pour into the life of these children. Love on them. Rock a baby. Change that baby. Tell them about Jesus. Sing those songs of the faith to them. Let it get in their ear from the very beginning. Do you know the first thing that a Muslim does when a child is born? He pulls that baby up, the father does, to the ear, and he says, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the last prophet. The first thing that child hears in his name is that's the Shahada. That's what he hears. And yet, as Christians, we will be worried about, well, somebody else can take care of them. Somebody else can cover for that. Somebody else can watch them. In 2020, what are you going to do to make a difference in the life of children in this church? You see, we'll do that for our own grandchildren. We'll do that even for our great-grandchildren. And a lot of these ladies here are hearing sermons for the first time because we're not having children's church today, because they're the same ones going back week after week after week covering. for you to sit here and do nothing. I'm not mad. But as we're talking about children and commitment to the Lord and devotion to the Lord, how can you be devoted to the Lord and not care about the children? How can we let them go by the wayside for others to have to try to pick up the slack? They are holy unto the Lord. And we have to commit ourselves and be willing to skip a Bible study, to be willing to skip a sermon. Now, you want the best care for your children, and you want everybody else to do just right when they're taking care of your kids. How about you do the same to theirs and to others? And with that, we shouldn't have to stand and beg people that profess to be lovers of God to love children and to love babies and to love on them and teach them the love of God. We have made a commitment as a church to do just that. And so I'm challenging you in 2020, pray now and then get off your knees and get into action and start serving and loving the Lord. Now, it's sad that we're in a day we have to have a background check, but it's a small thing to have to do, and Brandon and Glory can take care of that in just a short matter of time to help you with that. But we'll get that squared away so there's no hindrances. But the thing that we look at is here is Simeon, this stranger, takes the Son of God from Mary, takes him up in his arms, and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." You know what that word depart in the Greek basically refers to? It's like taking down a tent, or it's like getting in a boat and going sailing and going off in the sunset. We used to sing about that good old gospel ship of Zion, and that's what it's referring to here, is to get in a boat and just sail away, to depart in peace. And he's saying, you have answered your word. You have been faithful, and you have answered the prayer of my heart that I could see the God child. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You know, when the angels came and says, there's one who's born in the town of Bethlehem of the son of David who will bring salvation to all mankind. And Luke is hammering on the compassion of God for all the world. But do we have that same compassion? You see, as followers of God, we're supposed to have compassion upon the lost, but also have compassion upon those who are brothers and sisters in Christ, to love one another. And so this one Simeon, this older man, he says, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. Now, the Jews were the ones waiting on the Messiah. They were the ones that had the prophets have been prophesying for hundreds of years, saying that this Messiah is going to come and he will once again rule and reign over all of Israel. But you know, the Gentiles weren't looking for a Savior, not directly. But this one who says before all peoples, you see, God didn't put his son on this earth in a hidden basket. He put him out before everyone and said, this is my beloved son. And with that, he sent him in this world on a mission as a babe born to Mary through that immaculate conception there. And so it says here too, it says, and he will be a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. He's the light of the world. He was sent to bring light into this dark, sinful world to say, God is God and there is hope. That if you believe upon his son, you will be saved. That all peoples would have the opportunity to be saved, not just the Jews, but every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl would have that opportunity for salvation. And so as he is saying to him, that he's saying to us as he's singing this hymn, is that he is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The sad part is he's right there in the temple. He's making this announcement. All the Pharisees and Sadducees are sitting around and all this is taking place. And he's proclaiming that the Son of God, who's been told by the Holy Spirit that he would see before he dies, he has come and he's holding him up saying, this is him. The birth announcement of the Lord Jesus Christ to the religious people. And folks, many of them sat here just like you are today. And you're kind of like, okay, all right, we hear you. Big deal. It is a big deal. It's the biggest deal that ever happened in all of creation. Is that God loves us enough, he sent his son for us to save us. And we're being told that here by Simeon. And it says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon begins to prophesy here in verses 34 and 35. He's been going from worship and song to he's been going to praise. He's been going into declaring the heavens are going to be blessed and all creation is going to be blessed by the Son of God. And he's been worshiping, but now he goes into prophecy, says, and Simeon blessed them, meaning Joseph and Mary and Jesus, and said to his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know, there's three things here. We see the stone that's referred to here in referring to God and talking to this child as the God child. And that stone was used as a way in the Old Testament referring to God. Is that, you know, he's like a stone and that he is rock solid, set there, that nothing can move it. And with that, he is immovable. And as we see this, he's describing him as the son who is also a stone. Remember, he's that chief cornerstone that would be rejected by those religious leaders. But also he talks about a sign here too, and he says that it's for the fall and the rising of many of Israel. You know, when he says he's going to destined for the fall and rising of many of Israel, he's talking about those of the Jews who would come to believe and accept, and he's talking about Messianic Jews here, those who would believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed one, the Messiah that was prophesied and was long waited for, and he is that Messiah. Not only for those that were at that time, but even today, Jews that come to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so he would be a sign. And you know, we read in the book of John, over and over again, the signs talking about miracles. Now he's not just talking about the miraculous power to heal and those kind of things here, but the miraculous power of salvation that is found in Christ alone. And that with that, many would be saved. But he also talks about the sword. And when he talks about that sword here, it's almost like he's talking about Goliath's sword, but he's talking about a piercing sword that just keeps continuing to pierce and to jab and to stab at her and to pierce her. And what he's saying is, Mary, like any mother, you're going to see and endure things that you're going to be proud of your son. You're going to rejoice in the fact that he's your son. You're going to rejoice in the way that he is loved by many, but there are going to be great sorrows too. Jesus is referred to as the one of sorrows. And he describes to her here, he tells her, he said, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And what he's saying is, Mary, you're going to endure a lot, and you're going to see a lot of the things that they're going to do to him that are going to hurt you and be painful to you as well. Now, I want you to understand here, as I said about the birth announcement of Jesus, it's too often as Protestants, I think we don't really acknowledge Mary enough in saying that she was beloved of women or she was chosen among all women in that sense. But the problem is we get concerned with giving too much reference to Mary within the Godhead, and she is not part of the Godhead. And her suffering has no relation to what we're talking about with the suffering of Christ at Calvary that paid the price for our atonement. But she, as a mother, would have to see and endure, even to the point where she's standing there at the cross, and he is dying on the cross. And the last thing that we see of Mary is found in Acts chapter 1, described in Scripture. And, you know, when we look at that, she, along with the others, saw the resurrected Christ. And I really believe in my heart that the Lord let her see that because her heart had been broken so along his lifetime and the things that she had had to see him endure. And there's a lot of moms out here today, and there's a lot of you that have children and grandchildren that have had struggles with drugs and alcohol and all these things, and you've gone through a lot of pain, a lot of hurt. But none of you have seen and none of you have endured what Mary had to endure and what she had to see her son suffer, and that she suffered along with him. And so it was prophesied, these things. And speaking of a prophet, now a prophetess comes along as we're leading towards a close here. Anna bearing witness to the Redeemer. It says, now there was one Anna whose name means grace, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him, to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You know what? There was some shouting going on in the temple that day. There was some praise and worship going on in the temple this day. It was an ordinary day in the eyes of many when they went to the temple that day, and it wasn't anything unusual for people to bring their newborn children according to the law and to offer them according to the law and the sacrifices and all those things. But what began as a normal day of the ritualistic ho-hum changed completely when Jesus was brought to the temple. Let me just say this too. For you with your children, you never know when you bring your children that today could be a day that's different than any other day they've ever experienced in their life too, that today could be the day of salvation for your child. For those that have children that are not saved yet, I hope you're praying. I hope you're telling them. I hope you're living with them and before them day after day. And everything that you do as you're with them, you're pointing them to Christ. But he alone draws them to them to himself, and he alone saves them. He alone can save them. And that should be the cry of our heart for our children, is that they would be saved. But here they are, they're rejoicing, and the Redeemer has come to the house of God. The Redeemer has come to the people of the world in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this prophetess from the tribe of Asher, who lives at the temple, she came upon them at this time and says that she was a widow of about 84 years, and that she did not depart from the temple, but she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now I hear people say, you know, the other side of it, I hear a lot of times too, is like if you're not real regular in church attendance, I hear a lot of times too is that, well, we're at the church all the time. We just never get time with family. Well, let me say this. There's no better place you can be with your family than in the house of God. Amen. There's no better place you can be than with the people of God and hearing the word of God and let the Spirit of God work in your heart and your children's heart. To not only change them through the gift of salvation that they might be saved, but then to mature them in their relationship with the Lord, they might grow in that relationship every day. And you know what? You are to be their primary teacher. Other than the Holy Spirit, you as the mother and father are to be the primary teacher. But you've got so many people here that want to come alongside too and can come alongside and help you in loving them and pointing them towards Christ. And teaching them to grow in the admonition, understanding of the word, and to live that word out each time they come and they're here. So again, it's so important to live with them and before them and teach them, but also bring them to the house of God. That we collectively, through the power of the Holy Spirit, may help point them to God. He might save them and they might grow in that relationship. Amen. Maybe the Lord's speaking to someone here today that you've heard a lot about Jesus, but for the first time today, you want to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is drawing you to himself, and you want to commit yourself to him to be saved. And you want to call upon him and ask him to forgive you of your sin and trust him as the Son of God to save you and to commit your life to him, to follow him, and to worship him in spirit and truth and to serve him. And be devoted, just like we see with Simeon and Anna and Joseph and Mary and Zacharias and Elizabeth. They weren't part-time church people. They were fully committed to God. And that's what we need as worshipers in 2020 that are committed to the Lordship of Christ and committed to the kingdom of God and worshiping him and serving him together, that we might reach this community and to the ends of this world with the message of the gospel, Jesus Christ is Lord. And Jesus Christ saves. Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of challenge to all of us today, especially for those that are parents. But Lord, for those that are not parents, Lord, that we too can plug into helping point these children, these precious children, to know you and to walk with you, Lord. And Lord, that you would draw them to yourself and save them. And that's the prayer and the cry of our hearts today is, if there are those here today who do not know you, today would be the day of salvation. Maybe there's an adult here that you've heard this all of your life. You know the story. You know it inside and out, but you've never known the time where you've trusted Christ and called upon him and committed yourself to him, that he has saved you, and you've committed yourself to live a life committed to him as a follower of Christ. That today would be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself today and save those that you're calling to yourself. And Lord, that you would be glorified through everything that's said and done. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand?